Hello everyone, you are tuning in to the 97th episode of the Audible Weed Walk. This is Nina welcoming you. We are only a few episodes away from a century. What would you like to hear in the next few podcasts or beyond that? I would love to hear your recommendations. Now let's get back to the topic of the day. COP27 is going to start soon. How can I not anchor this podcast on that event? I'd mentioned it to you sometimes when COP was still a few months away. Of course, COP or not, in this podcast, we will always get back to our own backyard where the wild, weedy, wonderful greens and seasonal produce grow or can be sourced. So what is COP and why 27? COP stands for Conference of Parties, and this is the 27th meet. Many of you already know, and if you didn't, newspapers and discussions will tell you and remind you. True, in the news, you will get to hear more about the confusion and controversies surrounding the event rather than the topics, and the topics that are linked to better health of the planet and its people and food. In the middle of all the policy jargons, let's make an effort to understand what it means to you and me, and those who have not even heard about COP and have no time for it since they are busy finding one square meal per day. So we start with COP27. COP27 is the next meeting of the group of 198 countries that have signed the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change. It will be held in the Egyptian city of Sharm el-Sheikh from 6th to 18th November. The UN is urging the world's industrialized nations to lead by example by taking bold and immediate actions. 5 key issues to watch as they, selected are nature, food, water, industry decarbonization, and climate adaptation. Note the key areas: nature, food, water, then comes industry decarbonization, and climate adaptation that includes all climate actions, climate justice issues. But like our body, if we manage to take care of nature, food, water, and air, of course, naturally, we have to be in action for the other two, key areas, industry decarbonization and climate. I mean, can we have industry decarbonization without having clean air, water? No, right? Well, each year, or almost each time this group meets, this particular meeting was supposed to be held in 2021, and because of the COVID, it got shifted to this year. So each time this group meets, the scenario has gone a little grimmer. Another set of goals are drawn, and there are pledges to mitigate, adapt, finance, and collaborate. But does anything happen? Surely, on small scale, perhaps, away from our everyday notice, there's in the universities, there are new findings. There are students who find new aha facts about climate change and climate adaptation. There are PhDs awarded. There are some jobs related to that. But really, what happens when it comes to action around us? Anything? We have COP, and then we have Sustainable Development Goals, which is in short called SDGs. If we had managed to align ourselves with the SDGs and COP promises, even with some loopholes, we would have seen marked changes around us and within us. I'm surprised that even now in social media, I find people who are apparently still waiting for hard evidence that climate change is actually happening. There are some podcasts in the past where I have discussed the specific goals about COP, but you will get to hear plenty, in the news, media, read about them in the next few days until the COP, ends. And then we don't hear about it until the next meeting. This year, which is after the 26th such meeting, they have included a food system pavilion at the COP, and that's the news. Every year, the world is losing 10 million hectares of forest, and in none of the COP negotiation, they have drawn up a resolution seeking a cap on deforestation. So clearly, they have a lot to do. Let them do. So what am I suggesting that we do? Do nothing? On the contrary, I am suggesting the opposite. Let us be in climate action, in our own lives and around us. It is not going to be easy, but we need not be perfect from the get-go. We need not always remain steady in our status either. We may falter. We are humans. Important is we remain steady in our intent and we notice when we falter and we course correct. The other important thing we need to do is increase the size of our community, the people who are in action. Initially, it will be including like-minded people we know. But maybe just by our sheer action, there will be more people will be inspired and enthused to get into practice. Practices that will keep us in climate action and achieve climate justice. Let us get our body, our home, our neighborhood, our area, our region, our district ready for this, excited and enthused by this, and we can address it together. Then maybe we will find that even COP meetings are more meaningful because the leaders and the policymakers may find it easier to bring about the changes that are needed because people like us are sensitized and we will enable them. We need the COP. Don't think I'm suggesting otherwise. We need the big picture policy action, funding, monitoring, and all that. But to make it effective for all, we need to get going. All of us. What we offer will be based on our skills, experience, and interest. We can exchange, we can learn from each other. One thing for sure, any of our action has to be first with us. Are we pitching for more public transport? Or happy if a battery gets attached to my cycle or the EV scooters get cheaper? We have to catch our own thoughts. Are we going to follow the trend or it has to make sense to us? And, of course, the earth. I invite you to the query. I'll list three questions. Write down the answers for yourself. What can I do to be in climate action? What do I need to do less or not do to enable the process? What can I offer to include others to climate action? You need not tell me the answers, but if you do, I promise to add my own responses and share with you all. We can start from there. We can create a page or a group and share our challenges or opportunities. We can network and link. My offering, for example, could be that what weedy greens to eat. Now in this season, should we go for wild greens or still stick to the veggies? During the rains, are there any soups we can easily make with mundane everyday vegetables and a bit of bitters? Can they be yummy? We can together create this list. List of anything, recipes, cleaning materials, seasonal food, how to grow them. Then hopefully after the rains, here in Tamil Nadu, we are in the rainy season, folks. Maybe soon after the rains, we can meet up those who are around and figure out how to proceed, who we can bring into our folds. I may offer workshops on edible weeds and local veggies. Start with where I am. What are the different seasons when they are found? How to grow them, nurture them, learning how to pre-process them to eat, and how to make different things out of them. And then take it to the next region, to another region, and kind of customize it for that area and seasonality. What do you think? Today, after quite a few days of complete gloom, we have a sudden burst of sunshine. Clearly, we need to catch the sun when we can, and to keep them when the climate is grey and gloomy. Let us put our effort together for this. I am open to thoughts, ideas, and actions from you that will allow us all to form our own COP, our own local region. We'll call it Conference of People instead of Conference of Parties, where each participant will be a willing individual. On that a thought, let me share with you a golden recipe for now. It's raining, so we need to eat warm food. And because in Tamil Nadu, it kind of rains intermittently, we can still eat some greens. Not all, but some greens. In other places, and even in Tamil Nadu, when it's rain continuously, it is better to avoid the greens. But you know, right now, coconut, pumpkin, some of the greens like Punarnava or Boerhaavia diffusa, called Mukarate Kirei locally, we can always gather up. What makes this particular green, or Punarnava or Boerhaavia diffusa, interesting is that if you feel the texture of the leaves, you'll find that it's kind of leathery, it's a little hard, and the surface is a little rough. This doesn't allow the water to penetrate and kind of limp it up very easily. Let us get a 1 cup packed of healthy leaves. Steam them and mash up with a bit of garlic, maybe, you know, 3 cloves, and a pinch of salt. You can use black salt or sea salt if you have. If instead of garlic, you can actually, there is a locally you can find a spice mix called vadagam. If you have that, use that, maybe a teaspoon of that instead of the garlic. So then, in a tablespoon of sesame oil, first put the garlic or the vadagam, whichever you're using. Add this little steamed and mashed up green. Then add the salt, and when it fries up a little, you take it out and set it aside. For the soup itself, you would need the pumpkin. If it's a small one, then, you know, cut in half. If it's a large one, then you already have in pieces. You don't need to take the skin off as yet. Roast them on open fire, and if you have a grill, grill them mildly. It concentrates the sweetness. You will also need coconut milk. Fresher the better. What I do is I set aside a cup of coconut milk with a few stalks of green chilies to, you know, it kind of thickens up. It kind of curdles, becomes like a curd by the end of the soup making. And you will use that instead of heavy cream on top. So set it aside. Apart from this, you will need about 2 cups of coconut milk, a bit of cilantro to garnish. I like using 1 or 2 young leaves of the kaffir lime, if you have them. If you have them, take out the vine and chop them fine. You will also need about 4 shallots, about red onion, medium size, chopped up. So now that you have the Punarnava green already cooked and set aside, in the same pan, you add 2 more tablespoons of sesame oil and fry up the onion. When it becomes a little translucent, you add the pre-roasted and cubed and already skinned pumpkins. And let them, stir a little. Add salt. Don't add too much. Add red chili flakes if you want some heat, or a few peppercorns. Then add the coconut milk, and if you're using the kaffir lime, this is the time to add that also. Let them mingle and cook a bit. Once it is done that, switch off, let it stand for a little while, and mash it up, blend it together. If you have a blender that allows, you know, very hot portions to be blended together, why not? Adjust the salt and serve it on a bowl with a few cilantro as a garnish, and drizzle the thickened coconut milk you had set aside on top, like you would drizzle cream. Then add a bit of the Punarnabha green on the side of the soup in the same bowl. So this will become, bringing the contrast of the gold and the green. And, people can decide to either mix up with the whole soup or to keep the green and the soup separate. It's their choice. Try it and enjoy. But before ending, let us not forget about my call of action. Please think, what can I do to be in climate action? What do I need to do less or not do to enable the process? What can I offer to include others to climate action? Please share and let us connect. To share with me these ideas, you can keep them as comments in the YouTube channel, or you can write to me at Edible Weed Walk, all small letters, all one word, edibleweedwalk@gmail.com. We need people's COP, the conference of people, and we can start it together. With that thought, I will end here. See you next week. Stay well and stay safe.
This is Auroville Radio, voices from the city of Dome.